ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. బిఫోర్ వి బిగిన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ వెబినార్స్ ఆన్ ద వేదిక్ రిచువల్స్, ద వైదిక సంస్కారాస్, I submit my Sashtanga Namaskaras at the lotus feet of the Jagadguru, Shri Shri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Sringeri Sharada Peetam and to Shri Paramacharya of Kanchi Kamakoti Peetam and Shri Paramartha Ananda and the various other scholars without whose lectures and writings these lectures would not have been possible. And now, before we start this series on webinars, I also want to make it clear to all our participants that whatever I communicate, they are all based on the scriptures and none of them have my personal opinion. And as per the scriptures, whatever is given, they are all given, and I am not going to be judgmental about any of those things also. Many of these things may be applicable to today's environment, some may not be as much, but as a knowledge, we need to know what our tradition had to give to us. Now, when we talk about any religion, for that matter, they all have some unique features, and so does our Vaidika Sanatana Dharma also. For example, some of the unique features we have, one is the Varna Dharma and Ashrama Dharma. We are going to see some details in all of them later. Varna is based on some kind of a work function, the four Varnas, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. They are not caste system. We should be very clear in understanding that they are Varnas. And the Ashrama Dharma, based on the four stages in life, the Brahmacharya Ashrama, the Bachelorhood, the Grahastha Ashrama, the Married Life, the Vanasprastha Ashrama and the Sannyasa Ashrama. So this is Varna and Ashrama Dharma is one of the unique features in our tradition. And the second uniqueness is the birth according to one's karma. This is called Karma Vadaha, the discussion based on karma. The previous one is called Varna Ashrama Vadaha, discussion based on Varna and Ashrama. This is karmavada, based on one's own actions. We are responsible for our own actions. What we are today is based on our own actions. We don't have to blame anybody else for what we are today. We can just look at our mirror and that is responsible for our being today. And the third unique aspect is God, the concept of God as the very creation itself. We do not talk of one God, we talk of only God. There is nothing other than God. For example, Bhu Padav Yasya Nabihi, when we say in the Vishnu Sahasranam Dhyana Shlokas, Tribhuvana Vapusham Vishnumisham Namami, we all think of God as the entire creation. Whereas in several other faiths, there is the God who is supposed to be in heaven, in some other place. Whereas for us, the entire creation is none other than God. And another uniqueness in our dharma is, God does not manifest in one time alone, but in many avataras, avataravadaha, discussion based on avataras. There are 10 popular ones which we commonly know, the Dashavatara. Bhagavatam mentions actually 21 and odd, but avataraha, Asankhyaha means the one which are innumerable number of avataras. You cannot count them. So many avataras are there. And another uniqueness is the idea of mukti. One can be liberated even while living. Not that one has to die to go to moksha, but while living itself, one may be able to go to moksha. This is Jivan Mukti, this is called, this is possible in this birth itself and is an entitlement of every human being, regardless of caste, religion, gender, age. This is possible for everybody, Jivan Mukti or Moksha. And all these salient features are found in various places in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishads and so many places. Actually, the Avataravada Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, and also Varnashrama Dharma, he gives Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtyam. I created all these four Varnas, Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtam, he put. So, Guna Karma Vibhagasaha, based on one's Gunas and one's Karma, I made all the four divisions in the Varna, the Lord says. Jivan Mukti is mentioned all the time, everywhere in the Upanishad. And God as the total creation, Krishna spends a full chapter, chapter number 11, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, talks about the form, the God as the entire creation, manifestation, entire creation. And Karma Yoga, the discussion based on karma, deals with the Karma Yoga, that is also discussed very in great detail by Krishna and also in so many places in our scriptures. And in addition to all these, there is another unique feature that is called Samskaraha. And that is the topic of our webinars now. So another unique feature in our Dharma is called Samskara. And all the discussions which we mentioned earlier, they are all based on our scriptures only. And the source book for Varnashrama, for Jivan Mukti, for Avatara, for all of them is the Vedas, the scriptures. And so also the source book for all our samskaras, it is also Vedas. So Vedas by themselves, they are considered apaurusheyaha, the one that is not of any human origin. Yasya nishvashitam Vedaha, it is supposed to be the very breath of the Lord, the creator himself. So when creation started, Vedas also were at the same time they were there. So even though Vedas contain all this wisdom, but they are not given in a very clear format, but they are strewn all over the place. Some are hinted somewhere, some are mentioned in some other places. For example, if you want to take gold from an ore, you don't get gold as gold from the ore. You have to do a lot of processing and extract the gold from the ore. Similarly, we have to extract many of these aspects from the Vedic literature. So for the Vedic literature to be useful, it requires sorting out of all these, which were done by whom? By the rishis, for our benefit. And so several allied literatures also, they came into existence. So the next immediate literature, apart from the Vedas, are called the sutras. Sutra means a cryptic statement. So, Srauta Sutra, Grihya Sutra, Dharma Sutras, there are so many sutras. They give the various concepts as given in the Vedas in some cryptic form. For example, Srauta Sutra, that talks about, you know, the ritualistic literature from Vedas, codified the rituals, how to be performed, what materials one should use, what are the instruments needed, the procedures. And Grihya Sutras, they deal with domestic life. Griham means the house. So all details of personal family, family life, like marriage, like Jatakarma, like, you know, or so many other things, all detailed with respect to family life. And there are Apastamba Sutra, Bodhayana Sutra, Aswalayana Sutra, Yama Sutra, so many of these sutras, they outline the various procedural aspects. And there is this Dharma Sutra, that deals with social life, harmony, how others' lives and our lives are influenced by each other, moral, ethical values, all those things are given in the Dharma Sutras. And later, since sutras were in a capsule form, they were all very cryptic form, commentaries were written to make these sutras themselves understandable. So some ideas were written in the form of smritis, smriti grantha, smriti literature by rishis. Yajnavalkya Smriti, Parasara Smriti, Manu Smriti, these are all Smriti literature. Smriti means a remembered idea. It is not an original idea. It is a remembered idea, and that is what is given out. Only by the language may be different,
but the idea is from the Vedas only. So he is given some importance, same importance as the Vedas, because all concepts given in the Smriti are from Vedas only. And later, Itihasas and Puranas were written, and these were all personalized stories, biographies of Rama, Krishna. So Mahabharata is called Panchamo Vedaha, contains everything that is given in the Vedas, Varnashrama Dharma, Moksha Dharma, Avataras, value systems, all those things are given there. So based on Vedas, several allied literatures have evolved. So we have seen just now, Shruti, Vedas, Shruti means the Vedas, then Smriti, Puranas, all those things, they all came from Itihasas, all those things, they came from the Vedic literature only. And the Sutras are not popular since they do not directly convey the ideas, but one has to decipher them because they are all cryptic statements. So one has to have some knowledge how to decipher them. In the Vedas, the samskaras, the various mantras of the samskaras are also not codified, but they are strewn all over. So the word samskara, the mantras and arrangements, they have been dealt with in the Grihya Sutras, or as we had Shravata Sutras, these Grihya Sutras, they talk about all these. So the seed for the samskaras is the Vedas. The clear format is given in Grihya Sutras. We should understand that much. The seed for all the samskaras we are going to understand now, they are all given from the Vedas only, but the clear format for them were given in the Grihya Sutras. So our main source of samskaras is Grihya Sutras. So whatever we are going to discuss is based on the Grihya Sutras. And now let us understand how the word samskara comes in the Vedas. In the Vedas, various rituals are mentioned. In these rituals, various oblations are given and offered to various devatas through the medium of Agni or fire. Indra Yaswaha A, Prajapata Yaswaha A. So we are giving oblations in honor of Indra, in honor of Prajapati. And everything is offered to Agni, and through Agni, they are supposed to reach the respective devatas for getting the respective benefits. So when we offer something to God, then it should be in a form that it is fitting, in a fitting condition to be offered to the Lord, and so it should be purified before offering. So anything that I offer to the Lord should first get purified. So when we talk about purification also, we talk about purification at two different levels, and one at the physical level, physical purity, and the other one at the subtle level. Which source, from where this material came from, who gave this particular material, and what thoughts were there in my mind when that oblation was offered, all those things, they are all at the subtle level. So physical impurities and subtle impurities have to be purified before offering anything to the Lord. The physical impurity, it can be seen and it can be washed, it can be wiped out. Whereas the subtle impurity cannot be seen, and you purify that, so even if there is any that can be purified, they can be removed. So even though if we cannot see that, we have to still go through the purification process so that if at all there is any impurity in the subtle level, that also will be purified. So this process of purification is indicated by the term samskuryat. So the term samskuryat indicates this process of purification, samskuryat or samskaram kuryat. Such expression came from the Vedas. So the purification process is of various types. For example, there is a punyaha mantra. If you want to do a purification of your house or any place, we call the priest. The priest comes and does some pujas. He does this punyaham, and after doing that, he takes this sanctified water and sprinkles it all over the place so that the place will be purified. So the water is purified first, and then by the mantras like Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, the water is sprinkled to purify that place. Why purify? For example, if you built a very brand new building, the building is so new, very nicely painted, so nicely done, very clean. What is there to purify? Because even though physical purity is there for the building, but we do not know what else was there in that building earlier. And depending on what was happening in that place, those things also, they seem to affect our the conduct of the building. For example, when there are so many trees destroyed in that place, we pray to the trees. We pray to all, there are so many animals in the process of building, there could be so many animals destroyed. We pray to all of them for forgiving us, and then we do this, and then in the process, some doshas might have come, or something else might have happened in that place. So based on all that, that place needs to be purified, and this purification is done ritually through these mantras. For example, ghee also is used. This is a very interesting thing. We use sanctified water to sprinkle and purify the place. Ghee also is used to purify a place, because ghee has that power to purify. It has, it's a product of cow. It's supposed to have all the devatas the cow has, and it has a and when you want to purify a place using ghee, who will purify the ghee? That is another question, because unless the ghee itself is pure, it cannot purify another thing. And for that, our system, in our literature, scripture, they are having a procedure where the ghee is first seen by the patni of the house, the lady of the house. She will look at the ghee first, and by her looking, by her seeing, it is called ajyavekshana. So the moment she looks at the ghee gets purified. And with that purified ghee, you purify other places. And this is a Vedic ritualistic portion of this ajyavekshanam by the stree, by the lady of the house, is a Vedic ritual. Vedas approve that, and they want the lady to look at the ghee so that the ghee will be purified first, and then with that ghee you purify the last. So when this purificatory ritual is performed, the patartha, whatever is the object you are going to do for oblation, that becomes yogya patartha, that becomes eligible, that gets purified to be offered to the Lord. So now the definition of samskara based on all this discussion is, it can be given as, so samskaro nama saha yasmin jate kaschit padarthaha kasyajit arthasya yogyaha bhavati. I may use Sanskrit terms and some sentences here and there, but I will give the meaning so people don't have to think that they don't know Sanskrit to understand this. But because I have to give the relevant actual literature from the source, I am giving those things, but I will give meaning everywhere. So samskaro nama saha, samskara is that. What is that? When yasmin jate, when that special quality is born because of the new quality in the object, kaschit padarthaha, that particular object, yogyaha bhavati, becomes fit, eligible for what? Kasyajit arthasya, for that particular purpose of using as an oblation. So if I want to use that particular thing as an oblation, if I want to even offer some rice or something as an oblation to purify that, this particular procedure is adopted. So in this particular sense alone, samskara was used in the Vedas. So we are now trying to understand the term samskara. Later what happened? The very same Veda teaches so many things. The ultimate goal of life, the parama purushartha, namely moksha. Ultimate goal of life is only moksha. All other goals are all intermittent goals. I want to get a good job, I want to get a good education, I want to get a good wife. All those things are all intermittent goals only. Whereas moksha purushartha or brahma praptihi, that alone is supposed to be the ultimate goal that should be achieved by everyone. So if one has to achieve that moksha, then he has to be yogyaha, he has to be qualified to get that moksha. So if I want to get moksha, if I want to be liberated from this cycle of birth and death, then I should be eligible, I should become qualified to get that moksha. So we can say, brahma praptihi is offering myself to Lord or becoming one with the Lord. Then that is how I get moksha. So shravanam, kirtanam, vishnoho, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. All other, we are doing so many other nivedanams. When you do puja, we do so many beautiful nivedyams to the Lord. we make chakra pongal, we made so we buy the excellent fruits, all those we offer. But all those offerings have got one element in them, namely my ego. They are all associated with those offerings. I give it. I think I give it. So that ahankara is there. Whereas in Atmanivedanam, that ahankara is not there because I am surrendering myself to the Lord. So that is Atmanivedanam. I am not this body, but I am one with Brahman. That concept has to come and I should surrender completely. This body, the Dehabhimana has to go away. The ahankara has to go away. Mamakara has to go away. Then only I can surrender myself to the Lord. So it can be assumed then that moksha also is a ritual symbolically. What is the fire in this case, in this moksha? So when we say it's an yajna, then if it's a ritual, then there should be a fire and there should be something offered to that. So what is the fire here? Parabrahma is the fire. The Lord, Brahman, that is the fire. And yajnam yajnena juhoti, Krishna says in the 4th chapter, offering of the individual unto the Lord. That is the offering, that is the yajna. So the fire is the Lord himself and the offering is myself, the jiva. So for the individual has to become yogyaha, to be eligible, he has to have some guna atishayaha. He should gain some special qualifications necessary. If I have to offer myself to the Lord, I should become eligible to be offered to the Lord. As we are purifying all other materials to be offered to the Lord as an oblation, if I have to offer myself to the Lord and ultimately gain moksha, I should become eligible. So I should get that particular guna, guna atishayaha, that special qualification I should get so that I will be eligible to be offered to the Lord. So to get these qualifications, certain things have to be done by doing which the person will get the samskara, the purification or qualification. So in this case, it is not just one ritual, since this is the greatest achievement. Becoming one with the Lord, getting moksha is the greatest achievement in life. We have a long, very elaborate process. The preparation is started from conception of the child in the womb of the mother itself. It is a lifelong process. For some people, it can happen in one life. For some people, it may take many, many lives. For some people, it can be, we have, many times we say, crores of janma. We have taken so much births and deaths, and still we are, the moment we are born, we have a life right now, means what? We have still not got moksha. So we have to still make ourselves eligible. So impurity coming from so many births, they are all there. And to remove them and make us eligible to be offered to the Lord, that is the biggest yajna. So the entire lifestyle was a process of samskaras till we reach moksha, the final destination. And in this lifestyle, every stage was indicated by a particular ritual, every stage in our life. So all these rites, rituals are given in the Vedas, in the scriptures. So samskara now can be defined as what? Vidikriya janyaha atishaya visheshaha. So, vidikriya means Vedic rites when they are done. Janyaha. Janyaha, something is born in the human being. By doing this Vedic ritual, something is born in the human beings. Atisaya visheshaha. Certain special qualities are born in the individual. So, when certain Vedic rituals are performed, certain good qualities, special qualities are born in the individual, which enable the person to become eligible to be offered to the Lord to get moksha. So samskara is nothing but those special qualities which make a person fit for moksha, the ultimate goal. That is how we should understand them. Later, the rituals which led to the quality, the samskara is actually a quality, the rituals that led to the quality themselves were called samskaras. So now we have got two meanings for samskaras. One, it is a characteristic or a quality. And two, the very rite, the very sacrament, the very ceremony itself is called samskara. Sams means betterment. And karam means of a thing. So betterment of anything that is given by this word samskara. So these samskaras do two types of things to the individual. What do they do? These rituals, Vedic rituals, do two types of things. Dosham apanayanena va guna adanenava and dosha apanayenava. Dosha apanayana means what? Elimination of all impurities, doshas, physical impurities and mental impurities acquired over several births, not just in this birth, acquired over several births, they are called papas. And the second one is guna adanam, adding special values, special virtues of life, that is atma gunas, they are added. Krishna talks about all these atma gunas in Gita chapter 13. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham, sthairyam, atma vinigraha. All those great qualities, amanitvam, absence of self-importance. Always, you know, trying to say, oh, I am the greatest, that kind of attitude. Adambitvam, without unpretentiousness, it is. Ahimsa, non-violence, shantihi, patience, arjavam, being straightforward in everything, not to mince words and all that. Acharyopasanam, service to the teacher. Shaucham, being clean internally, mentally and physically. Sthairyam, being steadfast. Atma vinigraha, self-control. Here Atma is not Sachidananda Atma, it is mind control, self-control. So all these things, they lead to Atma gunas. 8 Atma gunas are described. These are all values, these are all great virtues for a person to have. Daya, compassion. Daya means compassion. Shanti, tolerance. Anusuye, freedom from jealousy. Shaucham, cleanliness, internally and externally. Anayasam, having a very relaxed attitude, not to have tension. When you are dealing with another person, you don't get tensed up. Very relaxed attitude. Then mangalam, inner happiness. Always be composed, inner happiness. Akarpanyam, being generous. Aspruhaha, detachment. Always dispassionate. So these are called Atma Gunas. And all these Atma Gunas, all these great qualities, these are all virtues that are developed in the person by doing all these rituals. So all the samskaras, they involve purification of the total personality. When we say total personality, what are the total personalities? Kayikam, Vachikam and Manasam. Because I have sinned through all of them. I have erred, I have made a lot of mistakes through all the three of them. Kayikam, kayikam means body. So samskaras involve all these. Kayikam means the body. Lot of rituals meant to remove the physical impurity and add physical virtue. So removing the physical impurity is called dosha apanayanam. And adding physical virtue is called guna adhanam. Both are done. And then vachikam, mistakes committed through our speech. So we chant special mantras. So remove vachika impurities and make words very sweet. So whenever we talk, we should talk sweet words. Jihva me madhu mattama. So we want to modify the character through our speech. Always talk good things, sweet things. And manasam, through mind, there are special dhyanams are prescribed to remove the impurities created by mind. We would have thought ill of other people. So this all manasam impurities, they are removed by special dhyanam, positive virtues of the mind, by cultivating positive attitude. I want to develop positive attitude in my mind. So guna adhanam and dosha apanayanam are the results of performing samskaras. So these two things we get. So when we say that these sacraments are meant to purify the individual to become yogyaha, eligible, for the purushartha, moksha purushartha, then one should not think that the Vedas and the Rishis have left out the worldly affairs like the material, the social well-being and all they left out. We should not think like that because that is a misunderstanding a lot of people have. When we follow all these rituals, we should not be mindful of our social welfare, our material welfare. No, the Rishis have made the samskaras in such a way as the person is preparing to be eligible to attain moksha, also attain all other benefits as a byproduct. Dharma, artha, kama, all those things they get. Artha means material wealth. So there is an avahanti homam. So in avahanti vitanvana kurvana chiram atmanaha vasagum simam agavascham annapane cha sarvada. I want to gain all of them. I want to get a good place to live. I want to get good clothes. I want to get cows. I want to get all material well beings. All those things I want. So when they do a samskara like that, they gain all these things also, in addition to getting the inner purity. And so the sacraments were wonderful rites for the all-round growth of a person. Physical impurity is removed, mental impurity is removed, whatever is desired is also attained, and one can aspire to get moksha also. So even if he does not want moksha, for a person says, I don't want moksha, I am very happy here, no problem at all, he can still perform samskaras for all other benefits. And how they contribute to the all-round growth? There is actually, we have to understand certain concepts. So we said all-round growth means the physical disciplines, the mental growth, all those things. So physical disciplines, they during and after the ritual, while performing the ritual, one gains physical purity, and also after the ritual also. For example, they take some vows during the, if you take a samskara like a Upanayana samskara, the thread ceremony. And before I go further on that, I also should make one point clear. The samskaras are given for all the three varnas, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. All of them have all these samskaras, and I'm not going to the detail of the Varna Dharma right now, but we are only trying to understand that this is common for all the people, but only there are some procedural changes, and based on one's own functions, there are some subtle changes, but they are common. And they take some vows. For example, during the Upanayana samskara, the thread ceremony. So it says, you know, madhyane nidra na kuryat. So the teacher says, the acharya says to the boy, during the noon time, madhyanikam time, I will not sleep, don't sleep. And he says, badham, yes, I will not. He says, yes, agreed, so I understand. Otherwise, he will get what? If he sleeps, he will get tamoguna. The tamoguna will lead to a blunt intellect. He won't have sharpness of the mind. So there is the sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. He will get tamoguna more. That will give rise to a blunt intellect only. So discipline about food. So yadu uchishtam abho ojyam. Yadu uchishtam food. So whatever is left, don't eat that food. Because left food is a stale food. For example, whatever we made yesterday, if you take today, we may argue all the refrigerators and all are there, but according to Shastras, as I told you, we should not be judgmental in all this. We are just only saying what the scripture says. So whatever is left food, one should not take that food, because that food is not supposed to be good for us. It is supposed to give us tamoguna. And also abhojyam food, the food that should not be consumed. There are certain food which are not supposed to be consumed to gain sattvic qualities, alert qualities, good qualities, balanced qualities. So for that they should not be taken. And pranayama mandal one has to practice. So it enables the blood circulation, regulation of breath and the overall health. And Vedic chanting is to be done. It helps in the breathing process very well, because there are so many swaras, intonations, all have to be done. So properly that helps the person breathing process, everything very well. And there is a chaulam, combination of some special nadis are supposed to be in the head. In the head, some special nadis are supposed to be, there's supposed to be nerve centers and in the head, and to be protected during the life of a person. So the Ayurveda also, you know, prescribes certain procedures. So you do a sacrament, a ritual called Chaudakarma. Chaulam, Chaudakarma, that is only a sannyasi can have the entire head tonsured. Whereas all others, they are not supposed to tonsure the entire head, some portion at the shikha that is supposed to be left, and that is the place where the nerve centers are supposed to be there according to the Ayurvedic thing. And there are certain other nerve centers, they are there in the forehead. For example, put kumkumam there, sandal paste there to protect those centers. They are called marmasthanani. The kung fu and all those techniques, they concentrate on those marmasthanas, so that if you hit a person in those particular spots, then it is going to make that person immediately, it will affect the person. And also for the ear lobes, for example, they have got this Karnaveda. So ear rings are put in these ear holes. Some nerves get activated by that process. So for some type of rheumatism and all, there is a ring in one ear. There are all these procedures are given in our shastras. So in this process, there is the physical discipline because of the rituals. So when we have these rituals, each ritual addresses some aspect of the physical discipline. And when we talk about the mental growth, For example, pranayama makes the mind sharper. The intellect becomes sharper, sharper intellect. And also the entire physical system becomes very good. That is the physical growth, and the sharpness of the intellect, that is the mental growth. Then the entire Vedas, it is propagated through a oral tradition. Today only we have got books within the last couple of hundred years. Before that there was no book. People were, the teacher was teaching to the student, the student just grasped it and he had just memorized it and he taught to his students. So this Guru Shishya Parampara continued forever without any script even at that time. So this Medha Shakti means the Grahana Dharana Shakti, the ability to grasp, Grahanam, and Dharanam, the ability to retain, both were maximum. So that is the mental growth. So these rituals enabled the person to gain that memory power, that mental growth. There are special prayers were offered, for example, to gain Shraddha and Medha. Mayi Medha, Mayi Praja, Mayi Agni Stejo Dadatu, Mayi Medha, Mayi Praja, Mayi Indra Indriyan Dadatu, Mayi Medha, Mayi Praja, Mayi Suryo Brajo Dadatu. So every time you are asking for what? Medha Shakti, Mayi Medha, Mayi Praja, I want Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti is what? Grahana Dharana Shakti, ability to grasp and retain. So this is a very, very important Shakti. This is a very important quality, value, virtue one should have. This is a great thing towards the mental growth. And values for ethics and morality. Kamokarichi inna monamaha. Kamokarichi te kamakkaroti nahankaromi kamakkarta nahankarta. Kamakkarayita nahankarayita. Eshate kamakama yaswaha. Manyurakarichi inna monamaha. Manyurakarichi manyukkaroti nahankaromi manyukkarta nahankarta manyukkarayita. I say, my desire is the agent. I am not. I was pulled by my desire to commit this and this act. I was pulled by my anger, Manyu, to do this and this act. I am not responsible for it. Manyu is the agent, anger is the agent, desire, kama is the agent, not me. So every time you try to dissociate your body and yourself, try to develop that particular attitude that I am not this body. I am the Chaitanyam, I am Brahman, I am not this particular body. That attitude develops all the time. So these value systems are all brought into that. And when any ritual is done, he is intensely aware of his stage of life. When a person is doing a particular ritual, the person is intensely aware of his stage of life. For example, Upanayana Samskara. By doing Upanayanam, thread ceremony, this person from a boyhood, he becomes a major now, adult. Then he gets Vivaham, marriage, Shashtibdha Purti, all those things, they signify a particular stage in life. So he develops a sanctity for the actual life through these sacraments, through these rituals. And in each sacrament, in each ritual, prayers were addressed to the natural forces. Another very, very important thing. In every ritual, the prayers were addressed to the natural forces. The panchabhutas, water, apova idagam sarvam, the water is everything. Apovai sarva devata, all these devatas are supposed to be residing in water. So we cannot take water for granted. So special prayers to water. Apohishtama yobavaha tana urje datatana. Again, water is addressed as a devata. So we don't treat water as just an entity. We treat water as a devata. And during samidhadanam, when the child does samidhadanam every day, agni is addressed as a devata, fire. So water, fire and all are all considered as devatas. Not just so, we don't misuse water. We do not disgrace water. We won't waste water. We always develop a sensitivity towards the ecosystem, the natural forces. The idea is what? The whole creation, the whole world is something to be worshipped and not to be exploited. So when one studies Vedanta later, Sarvam Kalu Idam Brahma, Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat, that attitude, when somebody learns this later, they don't become shocking statements to them. When they say everything is Brahman, everything is the Lord, they don't become shocking statements to them, but the mind gets prepared from the young age itself. So sanctify for the nature, sanctity for the nature and all things in nature. That is taught right from childhood. Above all, when the person does all these, he he will remember that he is part of nature. He is not away from nature. Humans have generally separated from nature today. Everybody is separated. Even toothpaste onwards, they are all artificial. The more artificial we are, more away from nature, we will be more sick only. So we try to learn a life to live in tune with nature. So actually there was an author called Wayne Dyer. He wrote a book, Sky is the Limit. Supposed to be bestseller sometime ago, long, long ago. So he used, after all, the portion from what is given in our scriptures only. That became a bestseller when somebody wrote it. But these concepts have been imparted in us right from childhood. So in all the rituals, sacraments, another thing is relatives and people around were all invited. Whenever we do a ritual, a Shashabdapurti function, a Sadabhishekam function, anything, we invite all the friends and relatives. We fed them. What is the idea? Idea of social life, community sense, sharing, the sense of sharing with everybody else. There is nothing like a private life as is. Inside and outside, always in presentable condition. Today, if somebody has to come to our house, what we want them to let us know before they come so that we can hide everything in the closets and make the house presentable and make us also presentable. Whereas when a person who is inclined towards this discipline, he always is presentable regardless of whether somebody makes a surprise visit or whether somebody comes with an appointment. So because always presentable, because the mind and the physical system, they are all attuned to a disciplined living. So mental expansion, growth of mind, all achieved through performance of these rituals. If they are done with that Shraddha, we have to understand that. Just by doing a mechanical ritual will not give anything. When we do a ritual, we should understand them and also we should develop Shraddha towards it, faith towards them. So now, if you summarize whatever we have seen so far, samskara is what? Is atishaya vishayaha. Atishaya vishayaha means the quality that is gained by various rites. By performance of certain rites, some special qualities are obtained. That is atishaya vishayaha. All the atma gunas and all I mentioned, they come in that. And the second meaning is the rites themselves are samskaras, which we are going to deal with now. In our series of webinars, the various rituals, the rites themselves. And there is a third definition also, which is a very important definition, and that is the mental impressions, the vasanas, called mental impressions. The rishis, they understood that a person's mind or samskara, here it is, mental impression is called samskara, that can be influenced by so many factors. The rishis have understood that. So the mental, they can be influenced by so many factors. For example, the parents, the neighbors, the society, today TV, radio, all those things, internet. So by his very life, he can create lot of vasanas. So the impressions actually, again, they can be governed by, again, two types. One is my own action. My impressions are governed by my own actions. And two, the activity of other people. So they said that the parents and others can prepare the mind of the child by preparing a very conducive environment towards living, a conducive atmosphere. If the environment can be adjusted by the way of the life at home, the child will be influenced by all these factors. So by constant chanting of the Veda mantras, even when the child is in the womb of the mother, by reciting proper shlokas, by listening to good things, good discourses, all those things, thinking about noble things, they all create the impression in the child. So this can be done even during pregnancy. When mother takes a lot of medications and all those things, you know, worrying and all, they are all supposed to affect the child. If the mother, you know, takes to worry and takes a lot of medication, mind is not peace, they all are supposed to affect the child, the physical life, mental life. They all have to be studied very well. So the samskaras enable a person to have a very right attitude towards everything in life. The power of positive thinking. And they try to influence the atmosphere by chanting the Veda mantras, doing rituals. For example, Prahlada, etc., children, they were all born this way. So this continues till what? The child becomes independent. So till the child becomes independent to do the rituals himself, up to that time,
the parents, they do all these things. Actually, in our childhood and all, the parents, when they are cooking, they will be reciting all these various shlokas. They are not sitting and making a child learn. But as they recite, the child may be playing. But the child, all these words fall into the ears of the child, and without our knowledge, the child will start reciting back all those shlokas at some other time. Even though they may not sit and learn right directly from the mother, they all have acquired that over a period of time because of the way the environment in the house was. So he took the responsibility of influencing the mind through the sankalpa shakti later. Once the child becomes an adult, once he becomes, the upanayana samskara is done to him, he becomes an adult. So he makes a sankalpa. He suggests to himself, I am going to be like this. I am going to be like this person, that person. So by his own sankalpa, by his own auto-suggestion to himself, I want to make myself a good person, a noble person, an integrated person, more than that. Who is an integrated person? For a person, he thinks good things, he speaks what he thinks exactly, and he does exactly what he says. So this integration, harmony between thought, word and action. So this person, a person has to be very courageous to do that. Because unless you think noble things, you will not be willing to speak that out. And whatever you speak that out, you have to always walk the talk. Whatever you talk, you should be able to do that. So such a person he will be able to become. So the positive samskaras give positive thinking, the power of positive thinking. Actually, there used to be an author called Norman Peale. He wrote a book called Power of Positive Thinking, another bestseller. By thinking, we can even, crush mountains. That is the kind of claims they make. So in every ritual, they said, I am going to become a learned person. That is the sankalpa he makes. Whenever he does any ritual, he makes the sankalpa that I am going to be making this person, I am going to be this way, that way, a purified person I am going to become. I am going to gain all these things by my own virtues. So that is the sankalpa he makes. And later, all these things, that they did from the, right from the Sandhyavandana Karma, all those rituals, right from childhood, whatever he did, they all influence the child, the mind of the child. The mental growth has been balanced in the positive direction. They all influence the child. So samskara is the positive vasanas in the mind influenced by the individual himself, the parents, the community, the society, everything together. So it is useful to study this, because when that has got so much of influence on me, it is definitely useful for me to understand what they are and how they have been enabling me to be such a person. So that is the reason why we started this series of webinars. So the Vedic way of life itself is very flexible. Actually, ours is a very, very flexible dharma. The whole puja we can do just with mere water. For example, if you want to offer godanam, people normally in rituals is very, very common. They want to offer a cow as donation to the priest, but there is no cow around. So what they do, they substitute the cow with a coconut. So a coconut can play the role of a cow, because what I think only matters. Swarna pushpam samarpayami, I can just offer akshadas and say I am offering swarna pushpam to the Lord. It is all in the mind. Everything is manasa puja only. But only one thing we should be very careful. When we say for swarna pushpam I can give akshata, but when it comes to dakshina, we should give real dakshina only. Dakshinartham akshatan samarpayami you should not say. For dakshina you should give real dakshina only, but for all others we can substitute, because it is in my mind I want to offer all these things to the Lord. What is it there for me to offer? Everything. Thera thujuko arpan, that's what the Arati song says. Whatever belongs to you, thera, I offer it to yourself only back. There is nothing that is mine I can claim as. So here, in all these things, my mind can be big, that I want to give this, that and all to the Lord. But whatever I have right now with me, I consider that as the biggest thing and offer to the Lord. And Vedas did not talk about samskaras in clear-cut form, that we have to understand in our discussion. Later it was done by what? Grihya Sutras. So Vedas, original literature from which all these samskaras were derived, and were put in a form that we can understand in the Grihya Sutras and further commented by rishis and other people. And the Grihya Sutras themselves, they are many. In each, they are written in various forms actually. Some of them have more, some of them have less. Since it is derived from the Vedas, it can be 10, 15, 20, whatever may be the number, we don't know. Popularly,
we have got 41 samskaras. So in our system, we have got 41 samskaras altogether, and many of them are mostly gone actually. And you know, because some of them are practiced, some of them are not practiced, but right from conception up to the time a person dies, there are 41 Vedic rituals commonly known. And what are these 41? The first three of them, we are going to only outline them, we are going to see individually each one of them. The first three of them are called prenatal samskaras, those done before birth of a child. These are called prenatal, they are done before the birth of the child. The first one in that is Garbhadanam, the conception ceremony. The process of conceiving a child is a ceremony. Garbhadanam it is called. Second one is Pumsavanam. Pumsavanam means prayer for a male child. We will discuss details of all that later. So let us not worry about the why male child, why female child, all that. Let us not go into that now. But Pumsavanam, Pums means Purushaha, and Savanam means birth, to desire the birth of a male child. And the third one is Simantam or Simanto Nayanam, parting of the hair of the wife by the husband. So put the, you know, the line at the center of the hair, the head, and separate the two hairs. That is another third ritual. These three things are done before the birth of the child. They are called prenatal. And then there are four initiation samskaras after the birth of the child. So before Upanayanam and after birth. So Jata Karma means the birthing ceremony itself, the birth of the child. Then Namakaranam, naming ceremony. Annaprashanam, first feeding ceremony of solid food to the child. And Chaulam, keeping the tuft, as I told, the tuft, the shikha, tonsure of all other portions, but keeping only that portions. Complete shaving is only for sannyasis, as I mentioned earlier. So this is called Chudakarma. So these four are postnatal samskaras after the birth of the child, before the initiation. And then six pre-marriage samskaras, that is after starting from Upanayanam and before marriage. There are six of them. And Upanayanam is the initiation ceremony, sacred thread ceremony. That is the Upanayana Samskara. Then there are Chatwari Veda Vratani. The person is supposed to learn all the four Vedas. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda. So they are called Vedic vows done in the Gurukulam when the child is taken to the house of the teacher. So that is where these things were all initiated. And Snanam or Samavartanam, conclusion of studentship. After the child completes the studentship in the Gurukulam, returned from Gurukulavasam, so Upanayana Samskara is supposed to be entry into studentship. And Samavartanam is supposed to be the conclusion of the studentship. So all these things are all pre-marriage samskaras and after Upanayana, on and after Upanayana. And as a householder, he has got 27 samskaras. Starts from Vivaham, the marriage. And the rest of them are all in groups. Pancha Mahayajnas. Pancha Mahayajnas means the Deva Yajna, the Pitri Yajna, the worship of the Devatas. Pitri Yajna, worship of the ancestors. Rishi Yajna, worship of the Rishis and the Vedas. And Manushi Yajna, our own service to society, other fellow human beings. And Buddha Yajna, our own sensitivity towards the ecosystem, the animals and plant kingdom. So that is the worship. And then Sapta Paka Yajnas, there are Sapta Havir Yajnas, there is Sapta Soma Yajnas, and Sapta, you know, Paka Yajnas. So all these are all, they are not practiced by many people today, but they are there actually. I'm just only for the sake of completion, I'm telling them, but there are many of them are not practiced. Only there are a few people in the entire Bharat continent who practice those things. So total, all of them together is three prenatal, and four pre-initiation, six from Vivaham onwards, and 27 all these yajnas put together 40. So the idea is what? By the time the person completes all these 40, he will become qualified for this knowledge of self, self-knowledge. So from Grahastha Ashrama, he will go to Vanaprastha Ashrama and Sannyasa Ashrama, and he will become yogyaha, eligible to study Vedanta. And Aham Brahma Asmi will be a meaningful statement to that person. Up to that time, when you say Aham Brahma Asmi, you are Lord. You are, I am Lord, I am Lord. If you say, I am Lord only will be words. it will not make any sense to this person at all unless the person is internally purified. So chitta shuddhi is important, internal purification is important. Until that time, they will be only mere words. It will not make any sense to them. If I say Aham Brahmasmi, I should leave those words. I should be Aham Purnosmi. I am a total person. I don't lack anything in life. Aham Triptosmi. Always I should be the equanimity in attitude. To see everything in Samatvam. All those things will make sense only when I leave that value. Till that time, they will be only mere words. So once the person gains self-knowledge, then there is no need for any samskaras at all. Sarvadharman parityajya. At that time, all this he can leave out. He will become one with Brahman. But everyone need not be like that. In spite of 40 samskaras, this person did not become qualified. All the 40 samskaras, you know, he did not become qualified. Because of the thickness of the impurity is so much in the body. Because it has been accumulated over several janmas. It is so much. This person, then he cannot become one with Brahman. He cannot. So because he has not become eligible yet. So even after death, his individuality continues for that person. He has to take maybe several births. Still he has not become one with God. And therefore what happened for such people? He has to be purified further. And so after death, another samskara was done known as Antyeshti samskara, the final samskara, which is a samskara which will make him yogyaha, eligible for better birth next time. So at least in the next time, when he is born again, he will become a yogyaha, eligible person to gain this jnana. And who will do this antyeshti karma? It will be done by his children or by somebody else. Because he cannot do it, he is already gone. Somebody has to do it on his behalf. So we find that the initial 5 samskaras, they are done by somebody else. That is the garbhadhanam, all those things. They were done by somebody else. And starting from the Upanayana samskara, this person, he has done several samskaras. And the last samskara again was done by somebody else. So there are 2 types of samskaras. One is done by the individual and one is done by somebody else on behalf of the individual. So including Antyeshti, the final samskaras, we have got 41 samskaras in total. Now we have to look at the outline details of each one of the samskaras, at least up to, let us say, marriage in detail, so that others are not that much in practice. We will only understand what they are, but up to marriage, we want to see in some detail. We will do it from the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya ya parasa maheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana. Now I will